And now, News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show about getting educated, getting hired, and getting inspired. Hosted by the staggeringly positive Kristen Heemstra, an experienced human resources manager and college admissions consultant. And now, here's Kristen on WCHL.
Welcome to the Art of Potential show. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Francis Gravely. Welcome, Francis.
Thank you, Kristen. I'm delighted to be here.
So, Francis, I want you to tell me about why we would have you here on the Art of Potential show, and about inspiration is what we're going to be talking about. What is your lead into that?
Well, I think it's the passion for handcrafted products and the artisans who make them, and the wonderful owners of stores to whom we sell them, and the circle of generations of craftsmanship that comes from Italy, for both generations of skills and training through families, as well as going back for centuries.
So Francis has a business, and it is Vietri Earthenware and Dinnerware. And you all are an international company.
Yes.
And you sell all over the world. Are your biggest markets U.S. and Italy?
Our biggest markets are the United States and Canada, the Caribbean, probably. We import into the United States from Italy, from small factories of artisans who create things for the table, for the home, for the garden.
All right. So I must ask, how did you find this particular niche? Because it's just, I just can imagine how fun it would be to go and find these artisans on the Italian countryside.
It is. It is. We're really lucky. It started with a mother-daughter trip to Italy in 1983. Our father had died early at the age of 55.
Oh, that is. Yeah.
And Mama was ready to get started after a couple of years of being off balance, and she invited her two daughters to go with her to a place she'd always wanted to go to since reading an article in Gourmet magazine about a hotel.
I like your mom already.
We were mighty lucky because we loved to travel with her. She was fun. She is fun to be with. And this was a chance in our late 20s, early 30s to enjoy a trip in Mama's style.
Yes. Older people like to travel in different style than you do when you're in your 20s.
Yes, we were young, struggling, working girls.
That's right. How much is a youth hostel? All right, yeah, Mom, we'll stay in your hotel room with you.
Exactly.
All right, so you just happened to go on a vacation that was your mother's inspiration, but something magical must have happened on this trip.
It did. First of all, in the very hotel that she had dreamed of going to, we fell in love with this hand-painted folk art style dinnerware that was made locally on the Amalfi Coast that the hotel had completely mixed so that sitting at a table we would be at a dinner plate with fish on it, and the next person would have flowers, and your cereal bowl would have an abstract design, and the cup and saucer would have something else. And at that time, people in the United States had either very formal dinnerware and they used for special occasions, and for every day, it seemed to be more dull-colored, heavy stoneware that they used every day.
I was in the 80s. I remember that. You know, you had the formal dinnerware that stayed in the cabinet. Rarely came out Easter and Christmas, maybe Thanksgiving. It depended.
That's right. And this was casual and colorful and fun. So you'd use it every day, but it just had a warmth and that spark of creativity that made it special enough to entertain with.
Okay, so you all were sitting there, you're having dinner, you're just so happy to be together on a vacation, and you said, Mama said, hey, let's start a business. I mean, what did the conversation sound like?
Well, it didn't start there. At first, we wanted to go to the factory and buy some for ourselves.
Okay.
And the next day, sure enough, we had somebody drive us down this weaving coastline to this factory in a little town called Vietri sul Mare, at the southern end of the Amalfi Coast. And we went in and started looking at these stacks of really seconds that the factory sort of had in an entryway, and fell even more in love. And then the owner of the factory let us go watch the painters painting, the molders hand turning some big bowls and serving pieces. And we found out that when we asked, that there was no major importer of products from this factory. And we knew that others would love it like we did.
Yep.
We loved dinnerware. We collected it. That's another family story.
Oh, okay. That's interesting, though.
In unusual ways. And we just knew people would love it. Mm-hmm. And Susan and I were old enough that we had worked, mm-hmm. and had been working since we had graduated from college.
Yep.
But I love to say we were young enough to have no fear, mm-hmm. And knew we could do it.
Right,
and
yeah. The utmost confidence, oh, this is going to work, and big.
Well, we never dreamed it would turn out as wonderful as it is now, with another generation of young people as passionate about it as we are. But at the time, I think it was that youthfulness that made us brave.
Mm-hmm. And there's a stamina factor there, too, when you're young, because you don't get tired as easily.
That's definitely true.
You can go and go and go, especially when you're passionate about something. Well, I want to bring you back to something you just said, which was that your family had been collectors of dinnerware before that or prior to this trip?
Well, when we were little, mm-hmm. living in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, which mm-hmm. is an eastern town,
mm-hmm.
our father was president of an export-import tobacco company.
Okay.
And during the tobacco season, buyers would come from Italy or Germany or...
Okay. To Rocky Mount, North Carolina.
Egypt.
I'm
to
sorry,
Rocky
I just
Mount,
wonder
North
what
Carolina.
That would have been like for
yes.
him.
And on the days that they would be there, Daddy would call Mama from the office, oh, Axel Renner is in town. And immediately she'd run to the grocery store. Susan and I, being the two girls in the family, were asked to set the table in the dining room.
Yes.
And that we would do. And I think that in combination with the excitement of setting a table and moving to the dining room and conversing with these fascinating people who really became family friends,
mm-hmm.
The combination made us not so afraid of starting an importing
yes,
company.
I can
but
totally
at the same time, when Susan was a student studying in high school in South America, she bought some South American dinnerware for her grandmother. And when I was working in London after finishing college, the first thing I did with my savings was buy some hand-painted pottery in Norway.
Oh, wow.
As my gift to myself. So
mm-hmm.
we knew that business as
yeah.
amateurs, I guess you'd say. We didn't have I wouldn't call us collectors, but we loved it. We loved to entertain with it. We had that sort of Southern hospitality in our DNA, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And there we were.
Well, it sounds to me like what you are collecting or what you're giving to others in the form of your pottery is a sense of the community, of a global community almost.
It feels like it today. I think that we have fallen even more in love with the Italian lifestyle that is about celebrating life with family and friends and appreciating beauty and lingering around the table with conversation. And then we also are still in awe of the artisans who are so passionate and skilled in turning dinnerware bowls and pitchers, or whether it's planters or it's mouth-blown glass or forged stainless steel. It continues to blow our minds today, and we feel really lucky to bring their products
in.
You
still got that passion going. I can feel the passion. It's just right there.
It's amazing.
Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I really do want to hear about how you turn this passion into a business. You are listening to the Art of Potential show. This is Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra. You are listening to the Art of Potential show, and I am talking with Francis Gravely, who is one of the owners of Vietri Earthenware and Dinnerware. And we're just talking about how this whole business came to be. So when you decided to do a business, did you seek out any advice on how to make it work?
We sure did. My sister is head of product design and Vietri CEO, and my younger sister, and we are mighty proud we've worked together for 29 years.
Having sisters, I understand that's a point of pride.
It takes a lot of love and communication, I can tell you. We asked some friends of our fathers who had different areas of expertise to be advisors to us. And we were both living in Chapel Hill at the time, but we would go back, meet in Mama's living room, and ask their advice. And they, I can tell you, when somebody else whose business uses UPS calls UPS and says, I want you to meet with these two young girls and tell them about shipping costs, what's involved in packaging, etc., you get a lot better service.
Yeah.
And along the way, we were very lucky persuading people to take the time to help us and share their advice. We couldn't have done it without them.
So before you even launched this company, you went and you really were trying to send some feelers out there, like how realistic is this dream?
Yes. We came back with some samples of four patterns of dinner plates of different animals in different running around the rims and painted around the rims in different color Mediterranean hues that mixed together. And then one floral pattern. And I remember that first summer, Susan and Mama were going to a wedding down in Georgia, and they took that trunk of samples with them and would stop in towns off the highway and ask for the look for the best gift store in town and go ask the buyer if he or she would look at this dinnerware and if they'd be interested in it, say. So that was our field testing.
You were doing door-to-door sales.
We were doing, I guess you'd call it field testing, to see if that was in the beginning, to just see if people would be interested. And we visited the Costa Boda factory, which is an importing company into the United States, and were able to tour their warehouse and take notes of how they organized things. And then we had lucky breaks, like Michael Barefoot had a Southern Season at the time.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, when it was the very smallest shoebox of a store, and he let us rent a small space in Durham in a warehouse that he had bought to store overstock for a Southern Season. So that was a break. And then from the beginning, we've had just great people who've worked with us. I mean, our first employee was a Carolina student who worked part-time driving over to Durham to help us pack boxes for the UPS man to pick up.
which everyone wants their Carolina graduate to do, I might add. No, but that's where you start out. I mean, that's the thing. And it's kind of like, you know, when you graduate from college, you move into what can I do? How can I help?
That's exactly right. Today we have a lot of students, well, maybe three a semester, sometimes four, who work as interns with us from Carolina School of Journalism or other departments that relate to sort of our creative side or business mm-hmm. side. And we love to think we've helped launch them.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Into their businesses. And okay. Work.
Yeah. So I just find this so fascinating. So here you are. You have this dinner. You're inspired by the pottery. You go and you tour the factory. You think, wow, we love this. So I bet our friends would love it. So you buy four sets.
Well, we leave with some samples.
Samples.
Yes. Of four patterns that mixed, one floral pattern in plates. Mm-hmm. And then in one of those patterns, we bought every single accessory piece and play setting piece we thought someone would want if they bought dinnerware.
So then your mom and your sister have to go to a wedding in Georgia. Like, well, on the way down, let's just build in an extra day or whatever, and we'll field test it. We'll just drive around and see if we can see if these gift shops would be interested in buying it.
Exactly.
So you go and they say, oh, this is beautiful. Of course I would carry this in my store. I've never seen anything like it before. So then you start calling your dad's friends in Rocky Mount.
That's right.
You say, hey, we have an idea, but we really need someone to walk us through the process. Now, your father was an importer-exporter, so that actual work itself was not scary then. That's what he did, it sounds like.
Well, the world seemed small to us.
Because people had come to Rocky Mount, North Carolina.
Exactly. And growing up as kids, they were like friends.
Right. And you had traveled, it sounds like, in college or after college. You had been in London and your sister had been in South America. So you had.
She was like an exchange student when she was in public school. And I really wanted to be in a different environment and learn more about myself when I finished college. So I went to London and found a job. And
you go, girl.
I had a great experience there.
I wonder if people can still do that if there's too many international things that would prevent you. But so then you all converged. Now, my guess is that your career path didn't just lead you here. You might have visited some other careers along the way. Would that be accurate?
Oh, absolutely. I've been a secretary when I first moved to Chapel Hill.
Okay.
And Susan was working for an architectural firm in Boston when she first finished college, and she got inspired by a play therapist when she was in Boston, and after a year or so came back and got a degree in play therapy and worked in that for a while. And then out of the blue, she went to work for a local person in Chapel Hill who was starting a women's clothing store. And she worked day and night as sort of the lieutenant to this store opener and really learned the business from the bottom up. And then she was hired away from that store after a few years to help an entrepreneur's wife start her own store in Durham. It was Clay Hamner, actually, who is from Chapel Hill and teaches at UNC. And so she had this background of involved from a store's perspective.
Which is so, that retail, because you've got to know your retail.
Exactly. And then when I was working in Chapel Hill for the School of Nursing and then started working part-time as a graduate student at Carolina in the Educational Media Program, and it took me a few years to finish that, but when I did, I worked for the university in communications and then worked for a small company that was consulting to businesses. And that's what I was doing when we started this company. So we both had some really beginner jobs in a lot of different fields that gave us some background knowledge.
I was going to say, that's so interesting. So you've got one who's developing her expertise in, you know, the retail side, which you have to know if you're bringing something to market, how that whole process works. It's invaluable knowledge. And then you, with your education in media, I mean, part of what your job is to educate people on Beatrice Pottery and what it's about. So you're pulling from that. So it's almost like you're a perfect match in some ways.
Well, I wouldn't say it was perfect by any means.
Getting a big head shake here. Maybe there were a few gaps. we're going to take a break. But when we come back, what I'd really like to know, what were some of the challenges and how did you overcome those? Because I think there are a lot of people who do find inspiration, but then, aren't really sure how to overcome some of the what seem to be insurmountable obstacles along the way.
So, they're challenges, that's for sure.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You are listening to Kristen Heemstra on the Art of Potential Show.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Frances Gravely from Beatrice Pottery. And so, Frances, you and your mom and your sister started Beatrice. What were some of your biggest challenges?
Wow. Well, it was, of course, it's always a challenge to work with family. Yet at the same time, there's some built-in wonderful things about that. Susan was not married at the time and was really able to devote herself to Beatrice. And I, at the time, was married with two young children.
Ooh.
And we, our first office was in, I guess, what you'd call the study or the second living room, the second public room of my husband's and my house in Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. And we used that and then rented the space as a warehouse in Durham. And they're just, of course, always hard times when people butt heads. And I think family members can be more sensitive to each other.
I would agree.
What they have to say.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But... And it was hard for me sometimes to balance the hours needed for work, which I was passionate about, but also the hours of being a young mother and having two kids.
Yeah.
I was lucky. I had a very hands-on, patient, wonderful husband, but it was still tough, really tough. Yeah.
Now, I get that because particularly as women, you're called to two different positions in the home, and men are too, and I don't mean to discount that, and we do see that more with men now.
Yes.
But your natural inclination is, are the kids taken care of? Have they had something to eat? And you almost try to do these things to keep them pacified so that you can then have that 10 moments where they're pacified, run over and do something else that you really are interested in, and then run back.
That's true. I think that's true for parents, whether they're working or not, too.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. So when you launched this, you were raising them in your home.
Yes.
Your sister was coming in and devoting more of her intellectual capital.
And she was able to go on the road, too.
Yeah.
She was the one who went up to New York and persuaded a man who rented space for new businesses to show their wares at the New York Tabletop Show, for instance. And we both were able to go up there and sell, but those longer trips in the beginning were really handled by her, thank goodness.
Yeah. Kudos to you. All right, so here's my question. What were some of the obstacles besides, being a mother of two young children trying to launch a company? That would be one.
Kristen, I hate to disappoint you, but more than anything, I guess it was the balance of day and night and work and time and energy, because when you're young and you're excited about something and it's your own business, you always have something more to do. You can always do it better. There is just never an end to what you can do. And you're always impatient to get it done fast. Time is certainly money, starting a company. And if anything, it was learning to work with little sleep and how to balance just working and living.
Did you find that most companies wanted to buy your wares once they saw them? Did you have challenges in persuading people to pick up your product line?
No. It was an unbelievable situation. We really were, luckily, right on the edge of a new trend in more casual dinnerware and dinnerware that you would use every day as well as for having company over. And we were lucky the economy was good at the time. The exchange rate with Italy was good because we pay in dollars. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, last year the exchange rate was very challenging. So that I guess really over time that certainly has been a challenge. It's also a challenge sometimes because when you work with handcrafted things, there can be you're working with clays and the earth and glazes and natural materials, and sometimes the kiln is too hot or that sort of thing. And so you have flaws and that sort of, and you have to inspect them. And sometimes the Italian time schedule is a little bit slower than the American.
Which I'm sure you appreciate when you're there, but not necessarily when you're here or, you know, kind of the slower pace of life.
Well, it's a give and take, though, because it is in their DNA, this sense of beauty and a great valuing of that. And also we were lucky because our artisans may be friends with the artisans who are working on Prada's textiles or colors and leather for Gucci, and they talk with each other after work, and they then get inspired about the fashion that's going to come out on the Milan runways, Paris, et cetera. Yeah. And so a lot of times they come, our artisans come out, use colors that are ahead of the trends, because clothing fashion then influences home decor.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and textiles. And so you combine that with their sense of just great design through the centuries. We have great respect for our artisans.
Well, and great inspiration that you're taking from them. I mean, when somebody is so passionate about their work that they're talking to the people in the next neighborhood about what colors to look, and, you know, to your point, the beauty is, there's a deep appreciation for the beauty of something. It's a very different experience than, are we going to have these by Tuesday?
Yes. Yes.
And so I would think one of the challenges would be walking that line.
Yeah, always. Yeah. Always. And but really, no matter the country, I mean, there is honesty. There is that human-to-human contact and shared passions that you work, you know, that bring us together.
So one thing I thought you would mention would be the language, and that hasn't come up at all. Now, are you fluent in Italian?
I would say my sister is, and parlo con un bambini che ha 13 anni. I speak like a young person of about 13 years because I don't use it often enough to remember it well. That's another story that's quite amazing. On that first trip to Italy, I got up from my seat. We were in, regular class crammed together in the airplane, three in a row. And, and I get up to go to the ladies' room, and the beverage cart gets in the way between when I came out of the powder room and was going back to sit with Mom and Susan. And so I stood up at the head of the row waiting and fell into conversation with an Italian man who asked me if I was, we were flying Alitalia, if I was going to Italy, and yes, I was, and my mother was taking my sister and me, and he said, I'm interested in taking, bringing my mother and sister to the United States. He was on his way back to Italy, and he ended up coming down and talking to us later. He was kind of fascinated with a mother taking two daughters to Italy, and we were the typical tourists. Mama asked him if he recommended a restaurant in this town that we were going to. And when we asked about a restaurant in Florence, he pulled out his card and handed it to Mama and said, when you're in Florence, I would like to take you to my favorite restaurant. It would be my pleasure. So Mama put up his card. We never, never had planned to call him. But when we were in Florence, and this happens sometimes to all people when they're traveling, we were coming back a couple of nights before we were leaving in Florence, walking back to our hotel, and vroom, a motorcyclist came from behind us and ripped Mama's pocketbook off her shoulder.
Oh, wow.
And in it were her traveler's checks as our hostess and all three of our passports.
Oh, my gosh.
So we ended, we went to the police station that night for many hours, and we got back in the early morning to our hotel realizing it was going to be really hard to get traveler's checks back, get our passports reissued, etc. So she thought, we need some local help. And she thought of this man's card and fortunately found it. And we called him, and he did help us find with having our pictures taken, getting our expediting our passports. He had a connection with his bank or a friend who worked in the bank who helped speed up that. And we told him about, and he took us to lunch somewhere. Said, oh, I'm so sorry you've had this terrible experience. Let me take you to lunch. And over lunch, we told him about these samples and our dream of starting this company. And he persuaded us, the three of us, to stay an extra day in Florence. And so we got to know him a little bit, and Mama did. And as we left Florence, he said that if Susan and I came back to place an order in Vietri Sul Mare, he would go with us and help us. And long story short, he did. Mama approved of him.
Right, because she knew him. Right.
Well, and he spoke English well, but he certainly spoke beautiful Italian, being Florentine. And he helped us. And we ended up hiring him to be our Italian agent for the first 7 years.
Yeah.
And his language ability, of course, was essential.
Yes. Okay. Well, that is a fascinating story about how all these pieces just kind of come together.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. We are going to take a break. And when we return, we are going to get some advice. If you are starting and following your dream, what is the advice Francis has for you? So when we come back, we'll be talking about that. You are listening to Kristen Heemstra on 1360 WCHL.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra. You are listening to the Art of Potential show, and we are talking with Frances Gravely. Now, Frances, there are a lot of women out there who would love to start their own business. What advice do you have for them about how to get started?
Well, first, go for it. Follow your dreams. Follow your passions. I think one important thing is to have some partners so that when different crises occur in the beginning and everybody's wearing all different hats, yeah. that you can depend on each other so someone can step up to the plate if somebody else is having to step out.
So don't necessarily do it alone, it sounds like.
I think it helps to have some good partners. And think ahead. It always takes more time to get something started than you think. And it just seems like there are more expenses before the income starts and the profits come. So that you, a common problem is that you're underfinanced. And you run into those problems when it takes longer to get started.
So, and I know you can only speak from your experience, but I know you also have women friends who have done their own thing. What would you say women should plan on in terms of a timeline to put themselves in a situation to begin to see a profit?
Well, we tried to project for a year, sure enough, I mean, we worked on a shoestring. I was telling you about having our office start in my house, and we sub-rented warehouse space in
Southern Seasons.
Difficult location that maybe wasn't quite so expensive. And it depends on the business, of course, and the expenses involved. And I think today there are more avenues for small business loans. We tried the small business a small business loan through the federal government and also banks. But a lot of times in the beginning, banks aren't going to have credibility with a starting out business.
Right.
So you may need to find some investors.
No, that makes sense. Did you have any luck with the federal government loans?
We didn't.
That's interesting because I do think one of the things with today's economy, they were at least last I heard, and I'm speaking out about something I know very little about, but it was my understanding that they were trying to make those loans more accessible to people starting small businesses.
I think they are. So. I think that's true. And it should be because small businesses are the biggest source of new jobs in the United States.
Right. They hire at over 50%, and I don't know my exact numbers on that, but over 50% of the population who's working in the private sector is working for a small business.
Mm-hmm. And in those small businesses, too, I think a lot of times there is sort of more intimate knowledge of all the employees, and a lot of times it's more family-oriented, and we are, and we're very proud of that.
And I think to your point, there's a good and a bad in that if you are working with a small business that's healthy and you have a healthy collaboration between people, it truly is one of the best avenues for employment because you do have people who genuinely care about each other and the product. Small businesses also tend to be a better place to move and to expand your career because you have to wear all the hats. You really can't get too isolated in your little cubby because you're going to be called out to put a fire somewhere else, put out a fire somewhere else.
And a lot of leadership training in business is being able to problem solve, being able to analyze that problem and
communicate your results.
Exactly.
And I do think, though, on the flip side of that, if you're working with an organization that is not healthy or even a boss that is not healthy, and that's a small business and that's your world, that can be a very damaging experience to the human psyche because that's what you're doing all those hours of a day, too. And I've seen both of those.
That's true. I think in the American culture, it's also very hard because our average days of work are high and young people are pouring themselves into their jobs to get ahead, to prove themselves. And I think when you're fatigued, your personal resources are really tried and having a difficult boss or a difficult work situation can even take more of a toll.
Yeah, it can, because you don't have the shield to put up. You're just exhausted and you become a beating bag for someone else. All right, so one of the pieces of advice is to not go it alone, but to build some type of team or collaboration or partnership or something.
Yes.
To realize that money is going to be an issue, so to, you know, see that your reserves are going to last at least a year. And I think the numbers indicate between 1 and 3 years before you see a profit for a lot of small businesses.
That sounds right. I think another challenge is if you start a business with friends or family, it is really important and a challenge to see your job and your responsibilities in terms of business and objectivity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you really need to work out in advance what your roles are going to be. And that's difficult in the beginning because you really do wear all the hats. Right. I mean, everybody, you just do. But as a company grows more and more, you have to redefine and closely define what new people are doing relative to the people who are there. And I think we live in a community where a lot of times seeking advice from the business school, there's a institute for family business. There are a lot of resources that people don't think about.
That's
to
true.
Help you get that business perspective, to help you sort of step back and
navigate that space. Yeah.
Keep separating the personal from the business.
And I think that's a very good point. And I think, too, having one, defined roles, but two, an exit strategy. Because in a family business, if you decide you're done and you don't want a part of the business anymore, it would help to have a framework by which to exit gracefully.
Yes, that's true. And that was a challenge for us because we have had people in our company that we were developing and thinking about coming along to take over, and sometimes it didn't work out.
Right.
And we've both hit that 6-0 number, and we have a fabulous group of young people who are the next generation of leaders for us. And in addition, recently we have hired for the second time my son, who had training in systems engineering, has worked for at least 3 or 4 different businesses in international business, and then came back to UNC and got his MBA as background, and has worked at the lowest level at the
right.
Atri, and has come back after business school with, I think, the passion that may work out for him to continue and grow into
a leader.
That's
got to be fun to see. Yeah, that has to be fun to see. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up because our time is over, but I have a million more questions for you, so we'll let those go for now. But thank you very much, Francis, for joining us. And if people want to see the Atri Pottery, where do they need to go?
Well, the A Southern Season carries a wonderful selection of Vietri. And the Extra Ingredient is in Greensboro. Quintessentials is in Raleigh. And we also have an outlet store in Hillsboro, but that doesn't carry what is current.
Right.
So I would recommend, and you can go to our website to find locations all over the United States.
Wonderful. And I will have a link of their website on mine, which is theartofpotential.com. Thank you for listening.